The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by DraftKings at Casino Queen Sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. That's WMVP. Must be 21 years or older, Illinois only.
From the First Midwest Bank Studio, Chicago's home for sports, is the new home of the White Sox. This is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, Waddle is out today. We're still having plenty of fun. Bleck and Abdallah are here. Connor McKnight filling in for Waddle. Connor's new to the radio station, not new to the airwaves in Chicago, not new to the sports scene. He's brand new with us, as we have, and some people still may have missed it. Someone asked during the show today. We have the White Sox now going forward, your new home for White Sox baseball. White Sox weekly each and every week until the White Sox get to spring training. Connor will host that. You'll hear him on all the shows. And it's great to have you. We've been having fun these last couple of days. You'll fill in for Waddle all week. And we're waiting word on the Baseball Hall of Fame announcement. And it could be an announcement that no one gets in, correct?
Indeed, it could. There is a handful of guys that might make it. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens sitting around 60%. You need 75 to get in. Although it's looking like Ryan Thibodeau is a guy on Twitter that just, he's been following Hall of Fame ballots for years. He is a, if you're into the Hall of Fame, he's a great follow because he posts all the public ballots and keeps spreadsheets and lets people know where guys are at. We did just have, I guess this is technically a little bit of breaking news before MLB Network has it, because Ryan Thibodeau has it on Twitter. It looks like, given one of the latest public ballots that came out, White Sox starter Mark Burley is going to get enough votes to stay on the ballot for next year. First time guys need to get at least 5% to stay on the ballot. And so far, it looks like things are tracking well for Mark Burley to remain on the ballot for another run, which is really good because sometimes it takes a long time to do this. You get 10 years on the ballot. Clemens and Bonds, two of the best to ever do it, are in their ninth year out of 10 and still aren't in the Hall of Fame. There's a lot of reasons for that, but they're not in yet.
Do you think Burley would ever get in? Is Burley in your heart of hearts a Hall of Famer?
I remember when I was covering the White Sox back with the first job here in town, and I was in the dugout while Ozzie Guillen was, you know, doing his pregame diatribe with reporters, which was always fun. When the mics turned off, it was even more fun. But I remember being there the day he first let people know, and it was just a huge hubbub. He's like, Mark Burley's going to be a Hall of Famer. Mark my words, Mark Burley's going to be a Hall of Famer. And everybody laughed, and everybody treated Ozzie like he was just, you know, saying a thing. And then the mics went off, and we were, why do you think Mark Burley's going to be a Hall of Famer? He's like, listen, nobody wins games anymore. Nobody stays in games anymore. Nobody does what Mark Burley does with less than what he has and just kind of making his points down the line. I think Mark Burley could get in, but it won't be through the vote. It won't be through the sports writer vote. It'll be a veterans thing, or it'll be an era thing, something like that. Ozzie's got a good argument for why Mark Burley stands out as a guy unlike his peers in that time and in that era. But I don't know that just being unlike everyone else is enough to put you in the Hall of Fame, in my estimation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and the biggest ones are still steroid era players, right? Like you mentioned with Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds.
Yeah, and Curt Schilling was there with 70% of the vote last year as well. But Curt has had a lot of people take votes away or drop him off the ballot, I guess is a better way of saying it, for reasons unrelated to baseball.
Right.
You can go look him up if you want to. It's not quite for the faint of heart, but and maybe it's not even fair. But there exists a character clause in voting for the Hall of Fame, and many baseball writers who have that vote have opted to invoke that character clause when it comes to Curt Schilling, right or wrong. They've chosen to do it.
Yeah. Someone and like the Hall of Fame voting has always driven me crazy. And I said earlier today that it's always a controversial thing these days with baseball. Hey, let's talk about the negotiations. Well, the players and the owners hate each other and they can't agree on the DH. They can't agree on extra playoff teams. They can't agree on when to report. You know, let's talk about Hall of Famers. Well, these players who were in years past and were great, now we're discrediting everything they've done,
right?
You know, and now we won't. And it's always let's change some rules. And I know you wanted to share something in a bit here about that, and I'm pro that as well. I want to make baseball great. I want to make it awesome again. And it still is. There's lots of awesome stuff about baseball. But someone in the Twitch chat was mentioning to me when I said, tell the story of all the PED guys. These guys are all Hall of Famers. They played in an era where we don't know who did it and who didn't. We don't know for certain. It's like I've always said about Hollywood stars. There are plenty of Hollywood stars who we always believed were good people. And now, through the test of time, we have found out they are not good people. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
That guy's a really good guy. He contributes to his university, and he doesn't swear, and, oh, he did that to people? Oh, and for years, people labeled him a good guy. And, like, we label these baseball players as the clean ones and the dirty ones. Well, do we really know who the clean ones were? And this was an era where so many people were doing it. So instead of judging, I want to reward the guys who dominated in that era and tell the story. And someone on Twitch said to me, Sylvie, have you been to Cooperstown? Have you been to the Baseball Hall of Fame? It does tell the story, and it still is a Hall of Fame. And I said, in a Hall of Fame, I've said this for years, that doesn't have Joe Jackson in it, and it doesn't have Pete Rose in it,
yep,
and it doesn't have all these players who dominated in it because of the steroid era, I won't go until they're in. It's okay, and if you want to get mad at me for me saying that, fine. But it's just a personal decision.
Have you ever been?
I've never been. Never been. I've been to Canton. I got to go to Canton my first time when Dan Hampton was inducted.
Oh, that's a good trip.
And then we got to go when Urlacher got put in, as he's been a friend of the show. And it's glorious. I've been to the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. That was when we went up to go see the Bears play the Bills in Toronto, which was a fun trip with guys. And I'm trying to think what else. What else is there then? I have not been to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Do you love Cooperstown? Have you been?
I've been to Cooperstown. I went when I was, 94. So I was 9 years old. And I'll be honest with you. I was a sports fan when I was a kid, but I wasn't really into any one thing. And truly, it was going to Cooperstown and walking through there with my best friend and my brother and my family and all that kind of stuff. That's when I really did realize that I could fall in love with this game, walking through Cooperstown. And seeing the best players in the game, seeing the story told about that game, seeing all the different kinds of, you know, because the Hall of Fame has all these kinds of things in there, memorabilia from moments in and around the game. It's not just plaques of players who are in there and whatnot. It really does tell the history of the game, at least up until a point. At a certain point, right about the time I turned 15 or so, the Hall of Fame kind of stopped telling the full story of baseball. And truly, it's not the Hall's fault. It is not only the Baseball Hall of Fame's fault that there aren't the best players in there. Voters are to blame. The Hall's to blame. Players, I think, are to blame. Major League Baseball, I think, is to blame, even though they like to talk a lot about how they are independent from the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's just... Really? Major League Baseball and the Baseball Hall of Fame are completely set? There is no mixing of church and state there? I've never really seen the logic there. Wayne Randazzo calls games for the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Wayne. He's fantastic.
Used to work here, too.
They have a great crew. I used to work with him on the other side. It was a ton. I love the guy. He tweeted this, and it states it as accurately as I could possibly. Can't wait for the Museum of the Best Baseball Players to shun the best baseball players.
There you go.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
And then that's my point here is I used to, as a younger adult, think to myself, I am going to go on one of these trips that you always hear about.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to hit a couple of those East Coast stadiums that I've never been to, and I'm going to check out the Hall of Fame. Maybe I'd do it with my sons. But until they decide that the hits king needs to be in there, he's flawed. He's hugely flawed for so many reasons. But he is a Hall of Famer. Joe Jackson is a Hall of Famer. Roger Clemens is a Hall of Famer. These guys are all Hall of Famers. And until there's a museum that includes all of them, I won't show up to the one that is doing partial job.
What is wrong with putting Pete Rose in the Hall of Fame and letting the first sentence on his plaque be, Pete Rose bet on baseball?
Right.
He is also the all-time hits leader.
Right. Like what? Absolutely. Right.
Where it all.
Banned from baseball from 1990 whatever.
Right.
Through blah, blah, blah. Tell it. Spell it out. Black and white.
Like baseball's old-time history is sparkling. It's just this weird presentation of an era that wasn't. You know, you go through the Hall of Fame and you're supposed to think, or at least I felt this way as a kid, you're supposed to think that everybody from, you know, that got inducted between the 20s and the 30s and the 40s or whatever were these perfect, you know, all-American stories of kids who grew up on the cornfields of Iowa and became Major League Baseball players and never did anything wrong. And it's just not true. None of it's true.
No.
None of it's true at all.
Right. So just it should be a celebration of the game. The other thing about it that would drive me crazy as Connor McKnight sits in for Waddle is the voting. And I brought this up with Hank Aaron, and you brought up Hank Aaron. Like the other notes that you read and that you're reminded of, Hank Aaron received 97.4% or whatever it was of the Hall of Fame votes. Huh? What? 100% of the people did not think that 755 should get in, that 37 or, you know, almost 3,800 hits shouldn't get in, that what he dealt with as a young player and all the death threats he got shouldn't get in. There were people who didn't vote for Hank Aaron and for all the other greats, you know, like how long did it take? Didn't we just finally recently get a unanimous?
Yeah, Jeets. Yeah, Jeter.
Yeah.
It's your first unanimous. Even Ken Griffey Jr.
Yes.
It's bizarre to me. The process is backward, but it is what we have. I would retool the Hall of Fame, and I like the idea of having a dynamic Hall of Fame. This isn't my original idea, but I'll say that I stole it from somebody and put it together because I think it's a great idea. I want the Hall of Fame to be tiered. I want baseball's Hall of Fame to be tiered. I want the innermost, tightest circle of the greatest of the greats. I want them in one center of the Hall of Fame. And then I want the next tier of Hall of Famers. And I want that decided on by baseball writers. I want that conversation. And I want the next tier and the next one. And I want those tiers to have to change. I want
Out of the circle?
Yes.
You could be in the innermost circle and get voted out?
15 guys in the innermost tier. Pick your 15. But when Ken Griffey retires, and you know you got to move him to the when Mike Trout retires, and he knows he's going into the innermost circle of the Hall of Fame, somebody got to go out.
I like that. You're sitting in the Waddle chair. Waddle always talks about this figurative difference of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, how there's the guys who are barely Hall of Famers. You look at their stats and you're like, that guy's in the Hall of Fame? And you should look at it differently. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6. We still haven't gotten word, right, on who's in or who's not, or
still,
if no one's in.
Still waiting.
Are they announcing it? Where are they announcing it? Are they doing it on MLB Network and they're just like trying to hype this up
It's on MLB Network. Brian Kenny and Tim Mead are on there now. Tim Mead with the Hall of Fame. And Kenny was, you know, I was watching this morning. I told you I was watching the Hank Aaron ceremony. And Brian Kenny was there. That was in Atlanta. I guess he could have been in the studio just spending time and talking about Hank some. But Brian Kenny's had a big day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. So we will get those results to you. Mark Jean Greco is going to join us at 5:30. We've got some football conversation as well. Connor's in for Waddle. It's Waddle and Silva.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Silva.
ESPN 1000.
All right, it's America's pastime. Let's celebrate baseball. Let's announce the 2021 class of the Baseball Hall of Fame. Connor McKnight, who gets in?
In the 2021 class of baseball's Hall of Fame, the highest honor available to anyone who's played America's pastime, we announce nobody, absolutely nobody, is going in to the Baseball Hall of Fame this year. Nobody got in. Nobody's going to get in.
The doors are closed.
It's over. So pack them up, go home. Although, I tell you, here's the good news. Mark Burley got 11% of the vote, so he stays on the ballot. That's good.
Do you have results? Do you have all the results?
I've got all the results. They're flashing in front of me right now in a safe way. Kurt Schilling fell 16 votes shy, 71.1%. He led the way in Hall of Fame voting. Barry Bonds at 61.8%. Roger Clemens at 61.6%. That represents a 2 or 3 vote increase for both Bonds and Clemens. Scott Rolen is the only other former player over 50% of the vote, 52.9. Omar Vizquel at 49.1, which I think is about 10 votes. I'm doing math in my head, which I shouldn't do, but 10 votes higher. Billy Wagner, 46%. Todd Helton, 45%. Gary Sheffield, 40%. Andrew Jones, 33.9%. Jeff Kent, 32.4%. And like I said, Mark Burley with 11% of the vote down the list means he stays on the ballot, which is a good thing.
Wait, was Sosa off the ballot, or is he so low that he's below all these players?
No, Sosa was, it just flashed, he had something like 11% or 9%, something like that.
Why do they penalize him? Now, I'm a Sosa guy, okay? So I've always been a Sosa guy. I believe he's a Hall of Famer. I don't believe in a lot of things he says. But again, like, you know my stance on all this. Why is he penalized more than most?
Sosa had, not to answer the question, but Sosa had 17% because I had
17%.
Yeah. He's penalized more than most, I think, because of the burst of production. I think because maybe too because of the obviousness in change in body that he went through.
And he never was penalized, never was suspended. Now, there were all those reports, the New York, who did the...
He testified before Congress. I mean,
right.
that matters. I mean, listen, those men that were there have dealt with backlash, whether it be from fans or whether it be from organizations or whether it be from writers. Some
right.
have atoned.
Palmeiro,
but if
McGuire.
You, if you went to Congress, you dealt with what you said that day.
Yeah, I don't like how we pick and choose and that, hey, Bonds gets 61 and I again, what are we waiting for with Bonds? What's the other 14% of the people waiting for? 13% of the people.
Couldn't tell you.
What are they waiting for? And do you believe there should always be, like, I think there's a minimum in pro football, in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, of like 4 and a maximum of like 7 or 8.
So this just flashed across the screen, too. It's on the bottom of Bob Costas, who's talking to me with earbuds on. There were 14 blank ballots submitted.
Oh, that's a shame.
People just were just like, nah, not for me.
Pass.
That's your job.
And this right. is, and this is,
you had one job.
And this is after the Baseball Writers of America Association purged some of the voters that hadn't been to a game in a really long time. I mean, it used
right.
to be, you know, you were kind of grandfathered into this whole Hall of Fame voting process if you'd covered a baseball game back in, you know, 88 or whatever it was. Not the case anymore. The voter rolls have kind of been, you know, excised some and trimmed some. And presumably folks who have watched baseball games and covered baseball games are voting now.
This to me reminds me of, like, if George McCaskey and Ted Phillips were in charge of the voting, this is what would happen. Today, I think today is like something that would happen at Hallis Hall.
It is long overdue.
We're just, hey, do we have any Hall of Famers? No. Did a lot of guys cheat? Maybe, but we've got everything else right.
I don't think they need to establish a minimum. It's only Chris. Well, it's the fourth time that no one's gone in since 1961. So it's not like this is a scourge on baseball. It's not like this is a thing that happens all the time and now we have to change the rules to deal with it necessarily. I think we just need to change the rules of who we vote for. And I
think the frustrating thing is I could understand getting to a point where you don't have people who are worthy of being in the Hall of Fame. Right? Like, we could have the whole debate. Is Scott Rolen a Hall of Famer? I'd say, yeah, he's probably not a Hall of Famer. right? So, like, he shouldn't just get in because there's no one
to get in. I agree with you.
But, like, the problem is Barry Bonds is one of the greatest baseball players who ever played the sport. Same with Roger Clemens. And I know that there's a lot going on there, but you can't deny the fact that they weren't on the field. And you also can't tell me all of the other players in Major League Baseball who may or may not be doing something as well at the same exact time as those two. They just happen to do it better than everyone else.
This, I'm a big Hall guy. I think more players should be in the Hall of Fame, and it's why I want to tier it the way I want to tier it. This sport has been around for nearly 200 years. The audacity of human beings thinking that we're going to select the proper players after 200 years of playing a game, we're going to select the right ones that played it the best in a 10-year career. That's so presumptuous of us. I mean, we're not going to do that. So make a big hall and then make some smaller groups inside the hall.
Little baby houses inside in the big house. Here's the thing, too, and I keep going back to this as a baseball fan, and it's the opposite of what goes on in the NBA. And I know the NBA is not for everybody, but do they have these, like, big stars that you love to follow and you want to hear so much about? Yes. Do they have all these big dramatic stories in the offseason where players are changing teams? Yes. So, do we have a Hall of Fame class? I'll do it like the Bears do it. Do we have a big Hall of Fame class or anybody in the Hall of Fame class this year? No. Do we have a hot stove season? No, not really. Like, all these players are unsigned, and it's been that way for a while. Do we have labor peace? No. Do we have rules that we could all agree on that makes the game really great and maximize what we can? No. There's not a lot. This should be a day where baseball is back in the spotlight, where we celebrate the greats of the game, and they just can't get out of their own way sometimes.
It's kind of like you're doing your Ted Phillips impersonation there.
Quarterback situation completely right? No.
No.
Have we won enough games?
No.
Everything else is there.
They have tortured me so much now. I talk to my kids that way now. I talk to them like I'm a Bears front office worker.
Do we have dinner tonight on the table? No, we don't.
Did you put your toys away?
No.
Did you poop on your potty? No. You're going to bed. That's what I'm doing.
Oh, God.
And I wear a headset around the house, and I act like I'm the president of the house. I've been here for 22 years, damn it.
I know where all of the bathrooms are. You can't possibly take me out of here.
Oh, boy. 332-3776. Well, we had a caller, didn't we? Tom in Oak Lawn wanted to weigh in on this. Tommy, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, what's up, guys? Now, I love the Hall of Fames. I've been to the pro football one in Canton. My family and them went to the hockey one in Toronto, and they said it was great. It was like going to a cathedral and such. And one day I'd like to do the whole road trip where I go to all the different Hall of Fames and such. But and I'm not even so much as far as like the steroid guys, just because yes, I feel Barry Bonds, Sammy Sosa, all of them, they did cheat and such, and maybe they shouldn't, but as far as Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson, and as far as, you know, the Hall of Fame saying that they are not, you know, aligned with baseball, it's hypocritical to say that you are not aligned with baseball, yet you're still not going to let, you know, Joe Jackson and the all-time hits leader Pete Rose in. When, yes, they're banned from baseball, but they're not banned from being Hall of Famers. You should still tell the story. And they are just museums where then you should tell the stories of the game. And part of it is, you know, Pete Rose and Joe Jackson. So, and then also, too, when Markey comes in, you know, tell him to bundle up. It's kind of cold out there.
Yeah, I know, right. Today's a GNABC 7 kind of day, where today would be a good day to battle. So Markey is in the First Midwest Bank studio. We get a special Tuesday with him. It's all brought to you by the Home Loan Expert, and it's coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
I don't have a square to spare. I can't spare a square.
All right, we're blessed with the presence. And Connor, you the smell of one Mark Jean Greco inside the First Midwest Bank studio.
That's men in skin bracer you're smelling.
Yes, Connor.
Oh, it's very good. It's
skin
like
tighteners and chin chillers. Thanks, I needed that.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
It's a menthol scent to it.
Now, don't get it confused with Aqua Velva. That's crap.
Oh,
that's
sure. Garbage. Of course, never. I would never.
That's blue. Men in skin bracer is green.
He gets very offended when you mix up the different aftershaves.
Yeah, Aqua Velva, please. Mamie Van Doren was their spokesperson.
I don't know that I've ever used an aftershave.
Really?
I
was just going to suggest you might want to.
I don't think I've ever. I'll be completely honest with you. I'm 35 years old. I think I've taken a straight razor to my face twice.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, electric razor?
Well, you have kind of a thin beard.
Yeah, anyway. I do.
I don't think you can do the full hookup.
I'll be straight with you. I'd break out like a 16-year-old if I shave. I look terrible. I look worse than ever.
I don't have a heavy beard. I just have too much body hair is the problem.
Sure. You got like a Yurko situation going
exactly.
on. No one would ever do a body shot of Gatorade off of you. No one would ever do that.
Well, you could.
Gene Greco's one of the hairiest men I know.
Yeah, but not in the face. I wish I had the full beard so you could do the Ryan Cheverini, you know, Justin Timberlake little George Michael kind of look.
Right.
You know, can't do it. Got gaps. Anyway, what's going on
today? So how about
this?
Happy baseball, huh? Let's celebrate the game with nobody going into the Hall of Fame.
Hey, nobody deserves it this year, okay? Curt Schilling, never, ever scum.
It looks like probably not.
Never. And Burley gets 11%. Mark Burley should be a first ballot Hall of Famer in the Hall of Great Guys. So he's never going to get in either, but I hope his numbers keep going up over the years. And it's nice just to look back and say, see, people appreciate him. He doesn't have the numbers to go in, but you got a perfect game. You got a no-hitter. You eat innings like crazy. You're the greatest guy in the world in the dugout in the clubhouse. You're a media darling, and as you said, Connor, his Hall of Fame speech would be what?
2.5 minutes, probably with a beer on the podium.
Exactly.
Hi, guys. Thanks for this.
Yeah. Where are we going after this?
See you later.
Time to go hunting.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, wait, come on now. Sammy, Manny, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, let's go. That's a good Hall of Fame class right there.
That's the big asterisk steroid Hall of Fame. Build a separate wing.
If you're concerned about the controversy on the ballot this year, just know that Alex Rodriguez is on the ballot next year. So that ought to clear up everything.
Oh, my
sure,
God.
Sure, of course.
Creepy, just weird, phony, plastic, weird dude.
Maybe J-Lo would sing the anthem, though.
Ugh,
I mean, it worked out okay the other week.
I used to love her until she hooked up with him. God.
I don't know why you dislike him so much.
He's creepy. He gives me the creeps. Everything that comes out of his mouth sounds like it was written and rehearsed 100 times. He's phony. He's fake. Although, I have to give it to you. When he and Frank were doing batting stances and talking about pitchers in the Fox studio during last season, I mean, it's inside baseball. It's really good. He knows what he's talking about. He's just creepy.
A-Rod as a studio analyst is unparalleled.
Yeah.
He is so good at that
job. I gotta
give
it to him, but
he's so good at that.
Can't look at him. Can't listen.
When you guys think, and you just mentioned a moment, do you remember the moment from like 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago that they did on Fox? It was...
With Pete Rose?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Wasn't it Frank... A-Rod and Pete Rose.
Yes.
Yeah, and Frank is so huge on the set. And Rose looked like a little organ grinder's monkey. And he's got the bow tie and the moe haircut and some plaid jacket. He looked like a little cartoon blob. It was hysterical.
But it was great TV, wasn't
it? Yeah, it was.
Three of those guys, talking about it.
Well, we were just talking about some of the numbers that had come in. I didn't realize this when I was reading you the results. Scott Rolen got 53%. That's up from 35 last year.
Tough guy, great player, great teammate.
Nobody came in on the ball from third like Scott Rolen.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was his thing. He was, my God, talented with it. And if you look at the statistics of how those votes track and whatnot. Scott Rolen is now a guy who will likely make the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
Guys who make that kind of jump from that year to that year, I think it's 3 to 4 for him.
When you think of 2 for 4 every day, I think of him.
Scott Rolen, man.
Yeah, yeah.
He's
absolutely
a beast. Philly, Cardinal, good.
I just remember him as a Philly. Yeah. Cardinals a little bit more of a Philly.
It was hard to love him as much on the Cardinals. I get that.
Yeah, I make that separation. You know, I always maintain the Cubs-Cardinals rivalry, just talking about the fans, it's the nicest, most polite rivalry there is. It really is.
I don't know,
the
Mark.
The St. Louis people are pretty nice.
I've sat in the bleachers in St. Louis. It could still get a little dicey.
There are always one or two drunks, but you know, it's not super nasty.
It's not Giants-Dodgers, if that's what we're talking about.
No, nothing is, right?
Nothing is Giants-Dodgers.
It's not Phillies anybody when it comes to fans, the most disgusting Neanderthals ever. But, yeah.
Phillies fans versus their dads. That's actually the biggest rivalry.
Yeah, booed Santa Claus. Yeah.
Whip batteries at anybody.
I'm looking for this tweet I had, and I responded to him. Here we go. Frank Parker, this is off the beaten path here a little, Mark. It says, next time Mark Gingreco is on, ask him about the time he made a comment about Steve McMichael's wife and her makeup on live TV. Apparently, the next week she showed up and duct taped him down to put makeup on Mark on TV. Is this a true story?
That's an absolutely true story. Duck taped me to the set, and McMichael put lipstick on me and powder and drew mascara all over my forehead and my eyes.
Is that traumatizing?
No, I was kind of into it, actually.
Yeah, well, yeah, that works.
He did it again like 2 years ago on the New Year's Eve.
It only cost me $200. It was really nice.
But I also remember Platteville training camp. I'm standing up on the ledge, up on the hill there, overlooking practice, and they're going through calisthenics. And Deborah McMichael rides up on her bike with everything's out, spandex, nothing left to the imagination. She rolls up on her bike. She's like, hey, what's up? And we're talking. And like, you know, 60 yards away in the middle of Cal's, McMichael goes, I see you with my wife. I'm going to kick your ass. I'm like, Deborah, you better leave, okay? He's going to crush me.
Time to go.
Yeah. Those were the greatest times. I mean, this is the 35th anniversary of the Super Bowl. There's so many spectacular memories. I told Sylvie this many times. We did 60 packages, meaning 60 separate produced stories in 9 days in New Orleans. From the fridge walking down Bourbon Street with about 500 people behind him carrying a picture of his wife that a street artist had drawn. And it was like the Pied Piper. Jim McMahon mooning the helicopter that we hired to hover over practice. And I remember Kenny Valdeseri, the media guy at the time, said, hey, whose helicopter is that? I go, oh, that's New Orleans NBC. That's not us. Well, we rented it. It was our helicopter. Johnny Morris and I, again, in a fight, tugging at Shiroshi Shiriashi, the acupuncturist. They flew in from Japan to puncture McMahon's butt because he was all black and blue. He had contusions all over his butt. And so we're interviewing him at the airport. He doesn't speak any English.
Oh, yeah. Sticking needles into a bruise is a good idea?
I guess, yeah.
That's how you heal a bruise?
Oh, yeah. And then
you puncture it?
I had a guy.
Everyone's nodding around like, I didn't know this. I'm the idiot. Really?
No, really. Yeah, I had a guy from the Illinois Acupuncture Association in New Orleans on the set with me. He's stabbing me in the arm. They put a little tube on your skin and give you some pressure. Then they put the needle through the tube. And all of a sudden, my arm, it's like hot soup going
up. Come on.
Oh, it was great. It was tingly. I go,
well, that's
there's some
the
other
reason.
Parts of my body I'd
Come
like
on.
You to stab.
Have you never been dry needled before?
No, I've never been dry needled before.
It's the best. It is.
Let me get a vein up here.
Twitch.
Really? Yeah, that muscle starts to. It's just like
it sounds
all the
horrible.
Stuff pushes out of it. It's awesome. It's amazing.
It sounds like torture. It sounds
so
like
good.
Actual torture.
It's the name
it's
of
so
Adam's
good.
Band, Dry Needle.
Yeah. So, like Mark, the story goes, for those who don't know, I know it feels like yesterday for you, but it was 35 years ago that McMahon has had the bruised butt, right?
Yeah,
and this
yeah.
could be a problem in the Super Bowl. And he's getting the acupuncture to it, and that's the reason why he mooned the helicopter.
Yes.
You want to see my butt? Well, here's my butt. And he moons the helicopter. And then there's a report with one of their longtime talk show hosts, Buddy, what's his name?
Deliberto. He's a local sportscaster in New Orleans.
And so he reports on one of the television newscasts in New Orleans that McMahon went out and called all the New Orleans women
sluts.
Yes.
Here's Buddy, this old guy, you know, he's my counterpart in New Orleans at the time. I'm sure he's gone, or at least he's retired now. But he gets up there and he had this accent going, well, I heard that Jim McMahon called all the people of New Orleans, all the girls, sluts. And they're like, at the end of the newscast where they were kind of filling, they had some extra time. And the news anchor's like, okay, buddy, all right, good night, everybody, thanks. Well, that just went, he got suspended, had to apologize. And we're interviewing Les Grobstein because Les had McMahon on his show. And Buddy claimed that McMahon said that on Les's show. So we're all interviewing Les. And he's like, no, he never said that.
Well, he'd know.
So you kids out there need to check out your sources. We got an extra few minutes. By the way, I heard a rumor. He called everybody sluts.
Well, these are the days, too.
Stop
with
saying that word on the radio.
Come on.
Are you serious?
I'm quoting.
Are you serious?
It's a quote.
It's a news story, though.
Just because you quote it.
There's a lot of stuff that's news stories that we can't say.
Women of
the night.
So
there's no social media. And so
you've
got
to
wait.
Connor.
You've got to wait for the 5 o'clock sports to find out if McMahon said this or not.
Right.
You know, like, hey, coming up at 5, we'll have Les Grobstein who tells us whether or not Jim McMahon called women this.
Right. And back to the acupuncture thing. You know, McMahon was at war with everybody on the Bears, including Fred Cato, hated his guts. He was the trainer at the time. And McMahon was at war with Dan Hampton. Hampton said, McMahon could never stay healthy. You know, he's a punk. You know, we don't need him. And McMahon would go back and say, Hampton, all you do is stand in Fred Cato's office and swallow pills and take shots. And, you know, and they're going back and forth at each other. And every time Fred Cato's name came up, McMahon would go, the only unlicensed trainer in the NFL. And that went back and forth forever. So McMahon hired Hiroshi Shiriashi on his own. It was not the Bears. He just flew in his own guy from Japan.
This is all going on during Super Bowl
week. Yeah, and remember, Connor, every single Bear, all the starters for sure, and at least the second stringers, they all had their own TV and radio shows. Everybody had a show.
That's right. I mean, everybody had their deal.
Yeah, everybody had their deal. I had Michael with me. And Walter and McMahon were at 7, and Dicka was at 5.
And it's why Waddle takes this week off, because he always wants January 26th off to commemorate one of his biggest days as a pro. So that's pretty cool for Waddle. Connor's in for Waddle. We'll continue the conversation with Mark Jean Greco next. The 5 o'clock hour and Mark Jean Greco is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. The new year is here. Let's get it kicked off right with a cash-out refinance. The Home Loan Expert. com.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Marky's in the First Midwest Bank Studios. I mentioned he's brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Check out Ryan Kelly. He's the absolute best at thehomeloanexpert.com. Did you see this? Kurt Schilling pulling the, oh, you're breaking up with me. Well, I'm going to break up with you. Bob Nightingale tweets this. Kurt Schilling in a letter to the Hall of Fame. Quote, I will not participate in the final year of voting. I am requesting to be removed from the ballot. I defer to the Veterans Committee and men whose opinion actually matter and who are in the power to actually judge a player.
Screw him. He's scum. Really.
I'm looking through the letter right now. He posted it on Facebook. I don't really care to read it.
Arrogance, smug,
I think I'm done
cocky.
Reading it now, but it's long. It's a lengthy letter.
Ugh.
Bob Brenly was all
ketchup
over this very
sock,
early.
You know.
Wasn't Brenly on this early when he was his manager in Arizona?
Yes.
He was the first to coin the phrase that once out of every 5 days he's a horse, the other 4 out of 5 days he's a horse's ass.
Yeah. Oh, you can say that, but you can't say okay. See?
Yeah, that's
thank
pretty self explanatory. Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody on the other side of the glass. Yes, that's right. That is correct.
I don't think Marconi needs to come out here and explain it to you why you can say that and not say the other thing.
You know, when I become FCC commissioner, first of all, you're out. And then I'm going to loosen things up a little
Actually,
bit.
Actually, it might not be that hard to grab that chair if you wanted it. I mean, there's a lot of things going on, a lot of things shaking up. You might be able to snag the spot.
Sports talk radio.
There are rules here? I didn't know.
We're not doing Sunday mass.
It's also not your first Waddle and Sylvie show. You've been doing our show for a decade
plus. It's stream of consciousness here. I'm just talking.
It's a Dalton novel. Everything's fine.
I'm like Costanza. Had I known that that was not acceptable.
Was that wrong?
Yeah.
Because I got to tell you, if somebody had told me.
Right.
Oh, so what about today I tweeted out earlier about the snow luggage. It's a phrase that Waddle coined. Connor, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, it's a great
snow
term.
Snow luggage is it looks like people who are driving down the highway have, like they're going on vacation, that they have a bunch of luggage tied to the roof of their car.
Okay.
But what it is the snow that wasn't removed. And we've always told you to remove it because it flies off into somebody's windshield. And at the least, they can't see for a couple seconds. And at the worst, it flies off the windshield and it could crack your
windshield. It's dangerous.
I still get pushback from people when I tweet.
You're kidding me. Why not err on the side of caution? There was a great piece of video on Twitter last week. Stoplight. Tons of snow, and there's a guy with snow luggage piled high and didn't even wipe off the back window. Guy gets out of the car.
Oh, I saw this.
And wipes it off for him. The guy who was parked behind him. And the caption was, Canadian road rage.
Sorry. Yeah. Let me get this for you. Sorry.
I got it, eh?
Yeah. It's all it was. He went out and he brushed off the guy's rearview mirror. He's like, hey, seriously.
Hey, get it together. Seriously.
It's always amazing to me to see how much people will try and get away with. You know, you'll see cars driving around completely covered in snow, but they've taken like the size of a credit card to scrape away just like an eye hole.
It's like they're in a tank. They just have a little square out of the windshield.
Is this a game for you? Yeah. Are you trying to, like, is there a high score you're trying
for? In the meantime, if you're parking in the garage right next door here, there's a big controversy going. There's a big issue.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dirty cars are getting tagged with little genital drawings on the
windshield.
Now,
are you doing this to Waddle, by the way?
I am not doing this. This is not me.
Do you swear on your children?
I swear on my children it is not me.
No, you're 100% it. It's 100%
you. I'm not it.
You're bringing it up out of nowhere.
No.
It's you.
Because I see it every day.
It's you.
I walk by his car, and there it is.
Yeah, after you draw it.
You know, nobody's talking about this. So yeah. You bring it up.
His little junk logo on the back of his car there.
What is Abdallah Black? What does Waddle call it? The artist? How does he? How does he say?
Oh man!
Formerly known as.
No, who's the famous artist that he says something about?
Vincent Van Dong.
Vincent Van Dong is out in the parking garage. Doing this to everybody's car.
So since Van Gogh cut his ear off, does that mean Van Dong is going to try to circumcise himself?
He's got to have some eye up while he's drawing the thing, right? Now, so is it multiple? Is it like a pastiche? Or is one?
No, I think it's just one, and if that gets erased, and then there's some dirt that accumulates, then there's a fresh one like a week later.
And how many have you drawn?
None. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not me.
Waddle doesn't think it's Mark because he doesn't think he would ruin his manicured fingers.
Exactly. I wouldn't do that. Right. I don't want to get my hands dirty.
Do you know who it is?
No. But he thinks it's Meller. I know Waddle thinks it's Meller.
Does the artist have some skill or is it kind of crude? Like, are we dealing with a Mona Lisa thing?
Is it like skillful, a caveman rock? It's skillful in an animated cartoon kind of way.
Okay.
Yes.
It's not like out of a medical textbook.
But it's not a thing where like no matter where you go, it's staring at you.
Like, no, it's not like it's the Visible Man.
Not like the Mona Lisa situation.
No, it's just like a little cartoon, little...
Yeah. But an action shot.
Yeah, that's the bad part of it.
I like that it comes with a sound effect. I think that's my favorite part.
Well, I'm censoring myself because I'm not allowed to say anything here.
He's the king of the sound effect, yeah. So is all well now with GN? I mean, is this thing over today?
I think it's over.
Buried? Hatchet buried?
Hey, shout out to Larry Mowry who had my back
during that whole thing.
Hey, look, it's Chicago. We got 5 to 7 inches out in the suburbs. Just be careful. That's all. I think it's over and done with now. It goes much deeper than just, you know, talking about the weather.
Oh, I could tell that was not just about talking about the weather.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
Oh, you thought there was some ill will there, Connor? Is that what?
It smelled like something a little bit deeper than 5 inches of snow.
I actually don't even know the guy. I don't. But it sounded like a fun thing to
do. I got to tell you, I think all you guys are fantastic at what you do. I think Chicago's blessed
to have a newscape the way we do. You got the job. Don't worry about it. Jeez.
From top
to bottom.
You're
ripping people now.
You know, from Bradley to Jen Krakow, everybody, just fantastic.
Ben Bradley, good man. He's my guy.
You know, terrific human being. I like him quite a bit.
Hey, look, I don't even know Larry. I really don't. I met him once, like 20 years ago. But I hear that everybody else at GN hates him. So what the heck?
You know,
I don't know.
Stop. That's the way to go.
I think that's unfair. That's unfair. I don't even know him.
All right, Mark, you're back on Thursday. Days are a little out of whack because we're off early tomorrow, so you'll be in on Thursday at 5:30.
Yeah, just jack around my schedule, you know, like I got nothing else to do. Which is true. I actually, from
as long as we don't take up
as long as
we don't take up 2 minutes an hour.
We could always call Larry Potash if you want and fill in.
I thought he was going to be on. He's been dodging you. I thought
he's tough to book. Thanks to Jason Wilde and Mark Gene Greco. Bleck and Abdallah, job well done. They're coming up in just 2 short minutes. So be listening for them. Thanks to Marky and Connor. I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.